You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
I mean, we're talking about 25 bets a day, roughly. $12,800 on average a pop. $40 million in losses.
In the hole. I've read some more of these text messages. He's talking about betting college soccer at one point. Like, he was in the weeds, just throwing money after. Like, what is it, good money after bad? It was all bad. It was all bad.
Boy. Oh, my Lord. He just, it got away from him in the worst way. And it's not even that he lost $40 million. It's, what was it? He wagered roughly $185 million and won $140 of it. So the net was losing the $40 million. The fact that he actually, through the course of this, bet over $185 million.
Over the course of about 2 years, too. This wasn't some lifetime achievement award, you know?
I'm sorry. I know that when you're dealing in large sums of money as an athlete, you have, and really anybody who has that kind of money, you are dealing in circles that we just will never understand. And how, we'll sit here and say, how could you not know what was going on with that amount of money? And yet more and more over the last few days, I've actually heard athletes say, like, it's not that outlandish for that to happen.
You're right. Okay, you said if you have that money,
there are other people who are dealing in it for you.
It's deeper water. Well, that's just it. I was like, this was not his money to bet. But how do you lose sight of that much money? That's what you're saying. Like,
yeah,
it's not that uncommon for, you know, you to have a money guy, an investment, whatever, day to day. You know, I'm always curious about that. When you have a debit card, like, does Shohei Ohtani have a debit card? And then when he goes in to check his balance, are there multiple commas in there? You know, like, how does,
yeah,
what's his running around money? Because clearly this was money in a different, like, sort of pot, so to speak, a different bucket.
Like, there's an amazing, I mean, the imagery of Shohei Ohtani going up to an ATM to do a balance inquiry on his card is kind of amazing.
Is that good?
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. He is Randy Scott in for Joe this afternoon. And the NBA season comes to a close this weekend, and yesterday you and I had on Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, and among the things that we discussed were the three teams that look like they are headed, two of them definitively are, a third potentially is, headed for the play-in tournament in the Western Conference, the Phoenix Suns, the Lakers, the Golden State Warriors. And we asked Brian yesterday, who of those teams should we actually take seriously?
Those are all three very, very good teams. Just because they're in the play-in, you shouldn't look at them as subpar. They're all like 10 or 11 games over 500. The reason that they're in the bottom four instead of the top four is that they haven't been consistent. And of those three teams, probably the team playing the best right now is the Warriors. They're playing better defensively than the other two teams. So of those three, I would probably lean towards the Warriors, but I'm telling you, their talent level is not that different from 70 other eight teams that'll make it. Any of those three could be in the conference finals if they get a run of consistency that's eluded them for a lot of the season.
My question has never been surrounded by the talent level on any of those teams. It's been more surrounded by exactly what he was discussing, the fact that none of those teams has been able to be consistent this season. And while the Warriors have finally put together a stretch of winning 9 out of 10, Randy, I don't have faith in any of those three teams to really do anything that would suggest they're going to get, I mean, into the second round. Right now I'm having trouble even seeing that.
They've won 9 of 10. They won again last night. Did it without Clay, did it without Draymond, but they beat the Blazers, so it should count as, you know, half a win.
Half a win.
But yeah. But they won, so 9 of 10, and they're still in the ninth spot. Like, that's how, you know, the Lakers have been on fire. The Kings are playing better basketball. Suns have been up and down. But it speaks to how loaded, to your point, how loaded the Western Conference is. So you know, it's tough to have faith in a team that's put themselves in this position where they'll have to win a couple of games to enter the playoffs as you and I grew up with it. You know, all due respect to the play-in teams, I don't think anybody wants to see the Warriors. I get that they're playing a little bit better defense. Their ball movement is just remains impeccable. It remains immaculate. It's the kind of stuff that makes you watch the Clippers and think that they're sort of bogged down and playing old man rec league basketball. But no, I have more faith in of that group. Like, I agree with Wendy yesterday. I have more faith in the Warriors, but they are running Steph into the ground.
Yeah.
They needed a big game from Steph. They needed more from Steph, quite frankly, last night than even Steve Kerr would have hoped. Because, again, you're in Portland. You're taking on the Blazers. He thought he could rest Clay and Dre and sort of skate to a win. They didn't skate. They were down 6 in the fourth quarter. They had to come all the way back. And you're going to say, oh, they need a big game from Steph. Only 22 points. No, he played 36 minutes. And Kerr said as much. I played Steph more than I wanted to tonight. But that's how impactful these games are. And you get to the playoffs, and that starts a whole second season. The playoffs start in May. They start here shortly, as a matter of fact, I guess late April. And they go through mid-June if you're doing it right. That's another third of the season if you're still going. And Steph, on the wrong side of 30, to be sure, it's a distant memory in his rearview, but like they're running this man into the ground. And I've noticed, and I'm curious if you have too, Carlin, like I've noticed that this is taking more of a toll on Steph, not just the minutes, but just the stress of keeping this thing together. I think he feels like he's trying to will this team not only to the postseason, but just to stay together, to break from, you know, keep from fracturing. And I can see it taking a toll on him.
I think that's more than fair. When you look back and you remember what the reaction was when Draymond got ejected
against
the Magic.
And how
angry, I mean, we've never seen Steph like that.
He's crying, on the court.
And shaking his head all over the place. Like that's as emotional as he will ever get. And to your point, like here is Kerr last night after the game about Steph's performance against the Blazers.
Steph's done that a million times, so it never surprises you. Obviously, wasn't his best shooting night, but made some big ones down the stretch and competed really well. And, you know, we played him more than we wanted to, but, you know, we got it done, and now we've got a chance to go, you know, play New Orleans tomorrow and get a win and put ourselves in a pretty good spot.
He looks exhausted. He looks exhausted. Yeah. 22 points on 22 shots. Obviously not Steph-like efficiency, but he just looks like he is trying to drag this group home. Mm-hmm. And my problem, while they have won 9 out of 10, Randy, is that, and we're talking about the play-in, and you're talking about winning 2 games in the play-in, assuming they're going to be in the 9-10 scenario. And then we're talking about a first-round matchup with Denver. Like, how can I have any faith in that?
Yeah.
I don't know that I would pick the Warriors, the Lakers, or the Suns. Let alone, forget about the Nuggets for a second. I certainly wouldn't be comfortable picking them against Minnesota and Oklahoma City.
I would feel better about picking them against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City's the youngest, trying to become the youngest team to win an NBA Finals since the first Warriors run with a very young Steph.
They don't play like a young team, though. I mean, I know they have the injury concern a little bit with SGA right now, but They do not make the mistakes of a young team, which is interesting to me.
They're a wise team because they've created circumstances through the regular season now where they can afford to rest SGA. You think Steve Kerr wouldn't want to rest Curry right now? But because they've messed around all season, looking at Draymond to a certain extent for his suspension, but because they've messed around all season, they created the circumstance right now where they have to ride their horse. They have to do this at this point of the season, and I just wonder what they're going to have in the tank when they get there. Because, listen, Klay's contract is over after this season. It's not even like a team option, anything like that. He's a free and clear free agent, and all signs, because the Warriors are well into that second apron of the luxury tax right now. They all signs point to someone in this big three having to leave. It ain't going to be Steph. Nope. Probably not Draymond, because his contract is nothing's untradeable, but it is flirting with that line here. He has multiple years left and more than $22 million a year. It's going to be Klay. That's the guy that Steph is closest to. That's the guy who has not let him down. That's what Draymond did in Orlando when he got ejected 4 minutes in. It was, man, how flat. That's what the emotion was from Steph. It was being mad but being hurt. It's like, how flat is your learning curve? We talked about this. We talked about how much we need you this year. I, Steph, need you on the court. I need you on the floor, mm-hmm. and you're letting me down. And I think it's wearing on Steph. I think obviously the minutes are going to catch up too if they haven't already. And you're right. Okay, congratulations. You've made it to the playoffs. Here's a very young, very hungry Minnesota team or the reigning champion, you know, Nuggets out of Denver.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you are not subscribed to the podcast, why not? Because if you miss anything on the show, it is all there. Carlin versus Joe, available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review, jump on board. Randy Scott is in for Joe today. And while the Masters is happening in Augusta, Georgia, what's going on in Atlanta? That's pretty fascinating, too. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on the iHeartRadio app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
As we mentally pan across the azaleas in Augusta, Georgia, on a gorgeous, sun-drenched Friday afternoon, it's day two of the Masters. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Nobody covers the Masters like we do. And our coverage, as in-depth as it is, includes going live to Augusta through our control room, which is where Evan Wilner, our producer, is watching the Masters. And he is here to provide an update. Evan?
Yes, Bryson DeChambeau is leading 7 under par.
Is it DeChambeau or DeChambeau?
I think it's DeChambeau.
Dealer's choice.
Okay. I've always gone by DeChambeau. Okay. I'm a big pronunciation guy. Great pronunciation guy.
Either way, the 2020 U.S. Open champion is leading. He was 7 under after round one. He is still 7 under. Nikolaj Højgaard from Denmark is 1 shot back. Max Homa, Scottie Scheffler, also 6 under par. One behind the pace set by DeChambeau. Everybody wondering where Tiger Woods is. 1 over. He is playing the 13th hole. He is inside the cut line right now. That's your update live from the control room, watching the Masters, whispering because it is on the television.
Oh, and by the way, Tiger just hit that approach on 13, Evan. Did not get it to the top shelf as it spun back. And now he will have, I would call it a 50-foot putt, roughly. And as they say in the game, a lot of chicken left on that bone. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Ev, he cannot be happy with what that approach shot was. Did you see that?
I did. He had 130 yards. It was some sort of wedge in his hand. I'm not there, so I can't actually tell you what the sand pigeon.
Wait a second. You're supposed to be providing the coverage for the show. You can't tell us what he was hitting?
It was some sort of wedge. It was 130 yards. I can tell you it was 130 yards. And,
I'm going to say it was a 60.
He is not happy with that shot.
And listen, I understand it because he had to get up top. Back of the green is on another level, and that ball spun back down the hill. Not great. Not great. So we will keep you updated all afternoon long. Randy Scott in for Joe Fortenbaugh today, and we certainly appreciate that. We want you to remember to tune in. We've got baseball action tomorrow night. It's Dodgers hosting the Padres, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Speaking of the Masters, we know that Laura Rutledge is down there covering it for the first time, and yesterday, among the guests that she got a chance to visit with, one of them was Kirk Cousins of the Falcons. And, of course, he was out there with George Kittle, but he is the biggest free agent acquisition of the offseason, going to Atlanta. Falcons with a younger team outside of Kirk Cousins. So what is his thought on where the Falcons are right now and where they want to go? Here he is, and keep in mind, he is sitting right next to George Kittle in this interview with Laura Rutledge.
Really enjoying getting to know the teammates, really good guys, talented players, and talented coaches. And so I couldn't be happier about where we landed and where we are and what we have to look forward to. But this everybody's kind of looking up at the Niners right now in the NFC. So if we're going to go anywhere, we got to get through this guy and his group.
Randy, what really intrigues me about the Falcons is you've got so many of those other young players, and now you're trying to plug and play with Kirk Cousins, which is an interesting move. I'm not against it. Certainly the Falcons needed much better quarterback play, but I am a little bit surprised that they would not try to go the route of drafting a quarterback when they were sitting there at 8, as opposed to going out and paying one so you could have one on a rookie contract and maybe you can find the next C.J. Stroud.
So I listen to a fair amount. I consume a fair amount of draft content. I think what Field Yates and Mel Kiper do is really strong. Matt Miller, Jordan Reed. I mean, we have some really strong draft minds. But even with all of their takes and all of their film analysis and who they talk to and scouts and whatever else, the hit rate on first-round quarterbacks lasts like 25 years.
Yeah.
Less than 50%. It just is.
It's like in the 30s.
It just is. And it really is subjective in how you define what a hit is on a quarterback. Is it just getting a second contract? You know, I mean, look at a handful from 2 seasons ago are on different teams now. You know, I mean, 3 seasons ago, different teams. So you just say that to say, if you're drafting someone where a success would be someone with Kirk Cousins' career and ability, and I mean like demonstrated ability, you know, why not just pay the man and go get him and bring him in? Because at 8, you're going to have to move up. There's always a run on quarterback. There's always a premium on quarterbacks in the draft. So you would have to trade up from 8. And you feel confident not only in getting some competent quarterback play in here, and that's all due respect to, you know, who they trotted out there last season. I mean, that was a rough watch. But their coaching was suspect last year. That's why Arthur Smith is not there anymore. So you bring in some different minds, some different energy, and some guys are going to use your weapons. Drake London has demonstrated he can be a wide receiver one. Kyle Pitts, we don't know. The highest drafted tight end in recent memory, we don't know how good he is. He didn't throw him the damn ball. So you bring in a quarterback, an actual functioning quarterback who can run a team, lead a locker room, and be better than average, and that's all you're looking for, and you want to see what you got at that point. So I think, given both that ascension and the fact that we know it's a pretty tepid swamp there in the NFC South, 9 games going to win that division, I think Atlanta's got to think, you know, we've got a shot at hosting a playoff game in the wild card round.
I have no problem with the Falcons doing what they did. I just find it interesting that they went that route with a younger team. So they must feel like they're very close. They're going to go. I'm expecting them to draft a guy like Dallas Turner to add some pass rush to that team. And I'm expecting them to not just win the division, but to contend in the NFC, is that enough to get over the top of the 49ers? I don't see that. I don't see that yet. Absolutely not.
No.
Now,
no.
Listen, if we're sitting here a year ago and we're talking about the Houston Texans being where they are, we'd all look like idiots, right? We'd think, we all expected the Texans to be in a major rebuild over a 3 or 4 year period. And what do you know? They made a couple of really shrewd moves. They not only got CJ Stroud, and he was playing at an incredibly high level coming out, but they also went and made a deal for Will Anderson, which was a very smart move. Mm-hmm. When you look at this draft, there's not an impact, a huge impact defensive player in this draft.
No, there is not. There's not a transcendent cornerstone, you know, franchise altering defensive player. There is still someone in this draft who will, not can, who will help the Atlanta Falcons. They don't have a single, and that speaks more to how poor this pass rush defense, pass defense in general, but the defensive line in general for the Falcons last year was inept. They have no one in the top 20 in pass rush win rate, defensive tackle pass rush win rate, run stopping, pass blocking, they're nowhere to be found among the league's best or the league's average. So if they can get some help on that defensive line, you know, lucky for them, the quarterback play in that division's not great. You know, Bryce Young, are we confident he's going to figure it out in year two? Are we confident the Panthers are going to put him in a position to do that? Derek Carr is what he is in New Orleans, and now he's losing Mike Thomas. And then if Baker Mayfield is the big, bad, you know, bully on the block, it's a pretty good neighborhood, pretty safe neighborhood you're living in, right?
Listen, I guess maybe I'm just saying that winning that division, not that big of a deal. Not a great achievement for anybody.
But that's
honestly, that's where we are.
Right, but that's what they want. If you as a front office bring in Kirk Cousins and you go to the playoffs that first year, you can point to that as a successful move.
If I'm the Falcons and I win the division and I find my way to the divisional weekend and I got a chance to, because there's no reason the Falcons with that team shouldn't win like 10 or 11. I'd be surprised.
10 or 11?
10 or 11 because of who they get to play six times.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying they're going to win all six, but they're at least going to go 4-2.
They're playing the Vikings, Kirk's old team.
Yep.
Playing the Chargers.
Yep.
Okay, interesting.
They'll be better. Listen, they are a good enough team where that should happen. But my point is, I don't know exactly how we're supposed to expect to get them over that hump to a championship game run. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. In just moments, two amazing words, Kendrick Perkins.
Yes.
We got just two games left for every NBA team. So who's a contender and who's a pretender? Perk joins us next. It is the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates. And there's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A disappointed, I'd almost say despondent, Rory McIlroy on the second hole just moments ago, hitting it into the trees in round two at Augusta, sun-drenched afternoon in beautiful central Georgia. Augusta, of course, sitting just a convenient half mile away from the Hooters on Route 27. The majesty, the glory of this annual pilgrimage to Georgia. We have our latest update. We go live to Augusta, and by Augusta, I mean our control room, for an update with Evan Wilner, who is currently watching the Masters.
And I'm watching Scottie Scheffler make a birdie on the second hole to join Bryson DeChambeau at 7 under par. They're your leaders of the Masters right now. Max Homa is 1 shot back, 6 under par. Nikolai Højgaard and 2016 Masters champion Danny Willett tied at 5 under par. You're wondering where Tiger Woods is. Tiger Woods is 1 over for his tournament, even par for his round. He is now 3 shots inside the cut line, which is projected at +4 right now. That's your update from the control room watching the Masters in Augusta.
The cut line has dropped 3 spots. It was at +1 early in the day, was it not?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I think it was at +2.
They changed the cut, right? It's no longer...
No, at Augusta, it's not halfway through.
It's even or better, right?
Yeah, it's top 50 plus anybody tied.
Okay,
so that's what the cut is, yeah.
All right.
But right now, it sits at +4. That's the projected cut, as Evan just told us. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We turn now to some NBA, and we welcome in the great... Well, we will in just moments welcome in the great Kendrick Perkins. I was thrown off for a moment. But anyway, I do have a separate question that I have to ask you,
mm-hmm.
because you came back out of breath just moments ago as if you had sprinted halfway across campus. Is that, in fact, what you did?
I did.
And why did you do it?
I did sprint halfway across campus. So I'm looking at a spinning chair in the news update spot where Christine was. Christine Lisi told me, hey, the Stanley Cup is on campus today. And I was like, hold the phone. What? And she said, yeah, the Stanley Cup's on campus. It's over in DC1. I don't know where. And, you know, you can, one end of campus to the other, one end of the broadcast, like production area, is about a half mile. What do you think? Going from one end of building 4 all the way to one end of DC2.
Half mile sounds right.
It's about half a mile. And so we're a little bit less than that. But I knew we didn't have a ton of time. I knew we had a break. I knew we had a Christine update. And I haven't seen the Cup since before the Caps won. I'm a big Caps fan. Mm. So since before they won in 2018, which I think I know is going to lead to your next question. But I booked it over there because I thought there'd be a line. I didn't know where in DC1 it was. Almost ran straight into the thing. It's over in screening. There's one guy guarding it. I don't know why I assessed its vulnerabilities off the bat, but I did. I went up and waited my turn.
Like it's Ocean's 14 all of a sudden on the campus of ESPN.
But they were like, why are you out of breath? And I was like, I ran here, okay? So, yeah, and then I ran back. I didn't want to leave you hanging. So, yeah, I got a picture with the Stanley Cup.
Oh, my God. I got to get more on this. We will in just a few minutes. Right now, we welcome in Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. Park, it's Chris Carlin along with Randy Scott, who's in for Joe today. That doesn't mean we're not going to still get your stone cold lock at the end of this, but let's just start here. Am I an idiot for not trusting any of the following teams? The Suns, the Lakers, the Warriors, and I'm operating under the assumption that they're all in the play-in to really do anything significant here.
Well, first of all, Chris, you're never an idiot, okay? And anybody who tell you that, they're an idiot. That's number one, okay?
I appreciate
number
that.
Number two, you
I'm actually the one who said it, which would make me an idiot, Perk, but whatever.
but listen, you should not trust them. And here's why, right? We'll talk about teams that's being consistent. None of those teams that you just named are consistent. We're watching this Phoenix Suns team. 1 minute for about a 5-game stretch, they seem like they got it together. The next couple of games, they seem like they don't even like each other. A few games later, they seem like they have abandoned the coach, and meaning not, you know, listening to what Frank Vogel is speaking in the locker room. So when I look at those teams, the Lakers, the Suns, the Warriors, I just got through doing an interview with AI, right, Allen Iverson. And I talked about Steph, Braun, and KD being towards the tail end of their career, and they have done us a great service. But when it comes down to the others on their team, we can't trust them. Like, you look at Golden State, Klay Thompson, he's been inconsistent. Draymond Green, we don't know if he's going to be available because he can't control his emotions. Okay, you look at the Phoenix Suns. I just described them. The Los Angeles Lakers. Is Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, is they going to rise to the occasion? The Western Conference is just too damn good. It's actually great to watch these teams struggle the way that they have been struggling to get to this point, and to say that they could make a run would be crazy.
Perk, I was there in the Celts locker room right before you were traded from Boston to OKC back in 2011. I remember you were trying to get Kevin Garnett's attention. He was at a media – I was probably interviewing him. He was at a media scrum, and you were like, ticket. I said, ticket. And he finally looked up and was like, what, man? And you were like, bye. Like, you were walking out the door. You just wanted his attention to say goodbye. And I'm invoking the Boston days because I think they set an unreal standard in the NBA. And you tell me if I'm wrong, where, hey, we got three great players. We got Ray. We got Paul. You know, we got ticket. Like, it's just going to work. And I think I look at the Suns as an example of it doesn't always go like that. Why isn't it gelling? We have a full season, full sample size with Beal and Durant and Booker. Why is it not working for them when other teams, including ones you've played for, made it work in a hurry?
Well, for the simple fact, you have to think about this, right? The word sacrifice comes to mind. And I've said this all along. Until Devin Booker decides to sacrifice a little bit, because they traded for Bradley Beal to get them over the hump, right? In order for Bradley Beal to be successful, at times he needs the ball in his hands. And if he don't have the ball in his hands and he's not involved with the offense, the Suns are still going to be the team that they are today. When Bradley Beal scores 20 or more, their record is night and day. Now, I understand we only had a sample size, but sacrifice comes into play. And then leadership comes into play. Who is your leader? Who is going to be the guy that's going to be in there, that's going to be an extension of the coach, that's not only going to hold himself accountable, but hold everybody else accountable? So when I look at the big three of the Phoenix Suns, I've been harping on this all year long. Who is the leader? Matter of fact, they haven't had a leader since Chris Paul left. And that's why we try to put so much pressure on Kevin Durant to get uncomfortable, right? Like, he's like, oh, everyone leads in, you know, their own way. Well, sometimes you got to get uncomfortable. Winning the championship is uncomfortable. You're going to have uncomfortable conversations, and sometimes things are going to go left in the locker room, which you like that because it shows that you care. But until they have the leadership that they need and the sacrificing, we're going to continue to see, if they even make it to the postseason, them struggle. We're also going to continue to see the four-quarter woes because they're one of the worst in the league when it comes down to, you know, them delivering in the fourth quarter. So they have to correct it. And it's a damn shame because we're talking about a veteran group. We're not talking about an Oklahoma City Thunder team, a young team like that. We're talking about vets. Mm. The only thing should be on their mind is actually winning, sacrificing, and trying to win a championship.
Kendrick Perkins with us, ESPN NBA analyst. Perk, how should the Bucks handle Giannis here? Because, frankly, I'm looking at this, and I almost feel like right now they'd be better off falling back into the three spot to get the Pacers as opposed to either the Sixers or the Heat right now.
I agree, and I think they believe that as well. That's why Damian Lillard is doubtful for tonight, because just think about it. You give Giannis enough time to rest. I like them against the Indiana Pacers, and I don't want people to sleep on what Bobby Portis could bring to the table. Bobby Portis could be a starter on 50% of the other teams in the NBA. Bobby Portis, when in the starting lineup, is a 20-10 guy. So he could fit. He's not Giannis, but damn it, he's a little bit below Giannis as far as his production. So when I think about Dame and I think about, you know, he's still a top 75 greatest player of all time. Chris Middleton, he's looked great since coming back off an injury. Brooke Lopez, we know the impact that he could have. If I'm the 76ers, I definitely want the Indiana Pacers in that matchup. I mean, let's be real. The Indiana Pacers ain't guarding a parked car. So that's a good thing for them.
Perk, everybody in the East is looking up at Boston. What's your biggest concern for the Celtics?
Kristaps Porzingis, Jason Tatum. Can Jason Tatum close when it matters the most in the fourth quarter? Can Kristaps Porzingis, is he going to hold up in 4-7-game series? Is he going to be available? Is he going to play at elite level? Because remember, with the Celtics, it's championship or bust. It's not if they're going to make it to the NBA Finals. They should make it to the NBA Finals. But when they get there and they just say they happen to face the Denver Nuggets, then what's next, right? Like, are you going to be able to hang in there with the Nuggets blow for blow? Who's going to be the closer in the fourth quarter? Can Kristaps Porzingis bang with Jokic for a 7-game series? Mm-hmm. If they happen to face the Minnesota Timberwolves, the same questions are there. Can you face Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert for a 7-game series? It's, to me, with the Celtics, it comes down to their mental toughness and are they willing to get nasty. If they're willing to get nasty and get physical like the Knicks or the Minnesota Timberwolves, then, hell yeah, they could go and win the NBA championship. Yeah. But I have to see that. Again, everybody has been evaluating, you know, the Boston Celtics in the regular season, oh, best team in the league, best starting five. And I've been the one who has been standing firm saying their season don't start till April the 20th. That's when I start evaluating the Boston Celtics.
All right, Perk, Stone Cold Lock. We got Phoenix, Sacramento tonight. We were talking about whether or not Lillard's going to play as Milwaukee goes to Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Golden State. What are you looking at tonight?
I like the Suns. Dead boat locked tonight against the Kings. Kings coming off a back-to-back. The Suns coming in. They're going to be feeling good. I feel like with the Kings, missing Malik Monk is a huge blow. I don't think they have – the Kings already don't play defense. I don't think they have enough offensive firepower to stand with Bill to go against Bill, KD, and Book. I'm going with the Suns. The Suns know the urgency. I think we're going to get the better version of the Phoenix Suns that we've been seeing throughout the course of this season. It's a better and it's a worse. We're going to get the better version tonight.
Love it. Suns -5.5. Perk, you're the best. Thanks for a few minutes.
Right, thank y'all.
We'll talk to you soon. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. His mere presence makes me feel better about me. And then he comes on and says, under no circumstances are you an idiot. First of all, it says to me he doesn't know me well enough yet. But still, it makes me feel better.
I think he really is human caffeine, man. He's the best. He is the best.
One team waited until after March Madness to pull off the biggest upset in college basketball this year. We'll explain next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
Barbasol Shaving Cream, America's leader for a close, comfortable shave. Better by Barbasol.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
MLB Old Faces and New Places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Yoshinobu Yamamoto,
Los Angeles Dodgers.
A year after a quiet offseason, the Dodgers dove into the deep end with two record-setting deals this winter, including a 12-year, $325 million contract for Japanese right-hander Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Because Shohei Ohtani won't pitch in 2024 due to an elbow injury, the Dodgers needed to bolster their rotation and landed the prize pitcher of free agency in Yamamoto after inking Ohtani to a 10-year, $700 million deal to DH in 2024. Yamamoto comes to the United States after winning Japan's version of the Cy Young, the Sawamura Award, in each of the last three seasons. His decorated career in Nippon Professional Baseball also included five All-Star appearances, three Pacific League MVPs, and a Japan Series title in 2022. The Dodgers are hoping he can bring that postseason success to an organization that struggled in October with just one World Series title despite the highest payroll in the sport and division titles in 10 of 11 seasons. Yamamoto is only 25 and could be a big part of the Dodgers staff in 2024 and beyond, including when Ohtani joins him on the mound in 2025.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
Yamamoto, by the way, pitching tonight, coming off a five shutout inning performance against the Cubbies last week in Chicago. I think that game was on Saturday, but he is pitching tonight against the Padres, and it gives us a chance to remind you to tune into an NL West battle on Sunday. It's Dodgers, Padres. That's right. Coverage Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app, 7 p.m. on ESPN. That game in Los Angeles. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Let's get a quick Masters update, shall we, just to let us know what's going on, if we could hit some of the music and welcome in from Augusta, actually from our control room, watching all the Masters action. Here is Evan Wilner in all his majesty. Evan?
Yes, Bryson DeChambeau, 7-under par. Scottie Scheffler, 7-under par. They are your co-leaders of the 88th Masters. Max Homa is one shot back. Danny Willett, the 2016 Masters champion, two shots back. Nikolai Højgaard and Ryan Fox at 4-under par, three strokes off the pace. Tiger Woods is 2-over par after a bogey on 14. He is inside the cut line, which is currently projected at 4-over par. That's your update from the 88th Masters in a control room watching the Masters.
Evan, you're a big Tiger guy. Did you bet for him to make the cut?
I did not. I don't like to bet things with my heart.
Fair.
I try to lean towards betting things with my head, you know, like a smart bet like Rory McIlroy to shoot even par or better today. That's, you know, that seems like a better bet. So I did not bet it just because I couldn't separate head from heart.
Do you remember what it was? Was it a minus 110?
I think it started minus 115. I think then it moved to minus 110, yeah.
Okay. All right, fair enough. And it looks like, listen, he's in decent shape right now to do it as he just hit another green on a par five. And is that over Rays Creek, perhaps? Might have been. So he's in decent shape there. Meanwhile, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Randy Scott is in for Joe this afternoon. You know, we haven't talked about it. I'm sorry. I have to feel remarkably underwhelmed if Mark Pope is the coach of Kentucky and I'm a Wildcat fan. I mean, Randy, listen, I get it. He's a member of that family. He played for Patino there. That's not where I saw this one going, to bring in the BYU coach who's been to the tournament twice in 5 years. Great at BYU. Maybe get you fired at Kentucky.
Two of the last 5 years in the tournament is good enough to get you fired at Kentucky. Yeah, and that is a successful season.
I think that was your line earlier today on the production call, and I just stole it.
No, it's now here I am, like, but it's worth saying this line, this line that I had. Mark Pope is a champion at Kentucky. He won in 1996. He's one of the captains on that team. That's how they're going to sell this to the fan base. But this is a fan base that thought they had a shot, and thought they had a realistic shot. It was a make him say no moment with Danny Hurley, with Billy Donovan, who's the Bulls head coach, possibly willing to mend fences with Rick Pitino, and then Scott Drew at Baylor. And Scott Drew even sent his family. They were on a private plane to Lexington, looked around, said, no, it's not for us. And they came back and issued a statement saying he was staying in Waco. So they went big game and big name hunting. You cannot say anything else that they settled. They settled, other than the fact that they settled on a guy who at least has hometown ties.
You know what's amazing to me is that we see so many more coaches nowadays not jump at the next job, but they're more than comfortable staying where they are. And I understand it. Mm-hmm. It's just funny because what are coaches always preaching? It's something that Perk said a few minutes ago. Get uncomfortable. Be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yep.
But then again, when the rubber hits the road, they stay put. It is amazing that that happens. But listen, I don't blame them. The pressure that comes with Kentucky, good luck.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.